looks like the front porch of the building is framed out. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Now, if we had 12 people to raise their hand and say, I'll give $8,000 a month, 1 month, then we'll have the whole year taken care of in church payments. Praise God. Oh, don't worry about it right now. We know we don't want everybody to see you. Hey, it's just us, isn't it? But look at the miracle. God has done great things. Hallelujah. And we will continue to move forward for the glory of God. Amen. We're going to dismiss our little children and let them go and have a good time in the Word of God on their level with their great teachers. Praise God. We've got owl runners. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We don't have near as many adults that try to go with them anymore. We must be teaching better. Let's open this up with a scripture. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 2 and 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Praise God. I know Sunday night we talked along these lines. But I want to give you a heads up about something here tonight. Praise the Lord. I don't thrive on talking about the devil. I don't like to talk about the devil. But that doesn't mean there isn't one. Amen. And so there is. And so what I want to talk about tonight is be aware. Be aware of the power behind the throne. Amen. Give me that second scripture again, brother, if you would. Because it said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, he don't need any advantages. And another point is that we are not ignorant of his devices. And so we're going to talk about some things tonight that we already know, of course. We're just going to go over them again for the next few minutes, and we're going to talk about being aware of the power behind the throne. And so let's look to the Lord and ask God's blessings and his favor. Jesus, we love you, we lift you, praise you and honor you, worship you and exalt you. We pray your favor tonight upon this Bible study as we teach the Word of God. Let us walk in the Holy Ghost. Let us receive it in the Holy Ghost. Take us to another dimension and to another level in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Thank you for being in the house of God. Summer's coming. Days are longer. The sun is shining. But let us not forget the house of God. Amen. Praise God. And so, nations at war expend great amounts of money and a lot of resources on military intelligence to learn everything possible about their enemies. The church and the kingdom of God are at war with Satan, and we are at war with his dark kingdom. It's a limited sense, I understand that, and it's limited because we battle a defeated foe. Now we need to understand Satan is already defeated by God. He's not defeated by us as of yet. He's on a standoff, and he will continue to do so if we continue to do the right things. It's limited. Amen. And so his sentence has already been decreed. His final day of freedom has already been determined by God. It's a done deal. Satan will not win. That's my Satan. So we have no need to build a military intelligence operation because God already knows everything about the archangel. This deceitful angel, this deceitful fallen devil he created, who was formerly called Lucifer, son of the morning. We often hear the phrase, knowledge is power. Am I right? And there's truth in these words. God's word contains vital information and knowledge about the devil and his ways. We need that knowledge to effectively overcome his hindering schemes in the earth today. Praise God. If we know a little more about him, we know how to fight him. Now, admittedly, the devil isn't worthy of as much focus and attention as some people give him. People blame everything on the devil sometimes. I'm looking for Sister Carol. She hates when I do this. One time she was vacuuming the platform, and I walked in, and right when I walked in the sanctuary, the vacuum cleaner broke down. She instantly went into a rant and rave, rebuking the devil out of that vacuum cleaner. I said, Sister Carol, calm down. It's not even a dirt devil. Amen. Sometimes we give the devil more, and he'll take it. You know, he'll put it in your mind. Yeah, I'm the one that broke that vacuum cleaner, and I'll break the rest of them too. When he had nothing to do with it. But so he's not worthy of all the focus sometimes that we... But we do need to know how to stop his hindering ways while we're pursuing God's purpose. We need to know some things about him. This knowledge is one of the secret sources of power. God's given to us through the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul demonstrated this in the book of Acts. He put up with the antics of the spirit of, what the Bible call it, divination, as long as he could. And it wore his patience thin. And finally, he had to stop and expose the demonic spirit for what it truly was, and he cast it out of the woman who had followed him for several days. The devil's greatest weapon is deception. His greatest weapon is deception, and he uses it skillfully against those who are unaware or unprepared for his assault. It's for this reason that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Amen. And I say it again. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Praise God. Someone once said, behind every successful man stands a supportive wife. And a surprised mother-in-law. And so this humorous remark has been mentioned a lot of times, and it has a measure of truth to it. Have you ever heard the phrase, the power behind the throne? Power behind the throne. We need to understand that the Lord is able to speak to the power behind any given throne. Ezekiel, the prophet, delivered a stinging prophecy from God for someone called the Prince of Tyre. We need to understand that. And later on, the King of Tyre became, once was a prince and then became a king. And this same king was addressed in earlier chapters, but 11 verses into chapter 28, God seemed to interrupt the prophet. He suddenly changed the tone of the message. It is as if he looked beyond the throne of the earthly king himself to address the hidden power that was motivating this corrupt king's actions. God wanted him to speak directly to the power behind the throne. And so he said, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. See, he's not even talking to the king. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were the anointed cherub or angel who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. That's what God said. Ezekiel 28, 12 through 15, if you want to write that down and study it. Amen. Ezekiel 28, 12 through 15. Praise God. He looked past the king and was talking to Satan himself. He was talking to the power behind the throne. Ezekiel the prophet was not saying these things to the man sitting on that throne. He was looking beyond the man and addressing Satan. The fallen angel who was once called Lucifer, the anointed cherub who covers, this exalted angel of God of rebellion was the real power behind that throne. Lucifer was anointed to worship. Am I correct? And he exercised some level of dominion over economy and commerce. And that needs to speak loud and clear to us and tell us that wealth is not always indicative of God's blessing and God's power. Praise God. Amen. Amen. One power manipulated the figurehead of the flesh. There was a literal king of Tyre. And he was a wicked man known for his fierce pride and cruelty. His deeds earned him God's wrath. And the Lord pronounced woes and curses upon him. However, in that verse 11 there, the Lord shifted his attention beyond the figurehead of flesh to address the proud spirit hidden behind the throne. He spoke directly to Lucifer or Satan. And the power who was manipulating and operating this earthly king's life and predicted his outcome and foretold his downfall. Indicating to me that there's still hope for you, king. But I want to talk to that devil that's messing with you and remind him he's doomed. And it's over for him. Isn't that awesome? We need to understand that there's always a power behind any given throne. Praise the Lord. Let me ask a question. Does actions glorify what Satan stands for sometimes? I believe it can. Satan is attracted by any atmosphere that has one or more of his own characteristics. Any atmosphere that has one or two or more of his characteristics. Be aware. People don't realize they can easily create an atmosphere that attracts him by doing things that glorify what he stands for. He knows that we can create an atmosphere that attracts the Holy Ghost and or grieves and repulses the Holy Ghost. God's word tells us, this is what it says. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, Psalms 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's the atmosphere we need to create. When we thank the Lord, when we praise him and bless his name, we find ourselves in his presence. It's a simple question of attitude. What attitudes create a comfortable place for the devil? We know the actions and activities of the king of Tyre because we've read it in the Word of God. It created such a comfortable atmosphere for Satan that he took up residence behind his throne and empowered the king to do evil biddings. A lot of the evil things happening in our day are not merely the work of the flesh, and they're not the work of people, and they're not the work of blood. Paul warned us not to fight on the wrong front. He said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. If you want to write it, it's Ephesians 6 and 12. Praise God. So we don't need to look for a demon under every rock. And I promise you, not every vacuum cleaner is demon possessed. Sister Carol would get on to me after service. One time I told it all over the nation when I preached. It was so funny. I'd be alone, think about it, and just laugh out loud. And she finally told me, she said, Pastor, please stop telling that story. It's so embarrassing. Much of the evil that appears to be human activity alone is motivated, it's directed, and even empowered by demonic principalities, by demonic powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I am not saying anyone is demon-possessed. But we've got to understand those spirits that are manipulated by their master are demons. Is that clear? I mean, they're not little white lies or little... We put colors on them as if they're this color is better than another color. Hello? They're all wicked spirits that fell out of heaven and can possess your soul if we give them leeway. And that's when they become the one that's on the throne behind you. Evil human attitudes and actions create a welcoming comfort zone. It creates an atmosphere where the enemy can work even greater demonic evil in comfort and also concealment. An atmosphere of disunity is especially attractive to the enemy because it empowers him. Disunity lessens the authority of the church and empowers the enemy. We understand that, don't we? Amen. And so when people get in disunity, they commit spiritual treason, and their actions weaken God's kingdom and strengthen Satan's position. He constantly works to make us believe our battle is against other people so that we can get our attention off of him. I wonder what the devil would feel if we had an animosity thing against another person in the church. I'm not saying we do. Amen. But if we did, and we went to that person and say, hey, look, I love you, and I know you love me, and it ain't you and me that are having an issue, it's the devil coming against us. Why don't we just rebuke him in Jesus' name? I could see the devil getting the coop droop. That's my grandson. When he gets disappointed, his hands just fall to the floor. I could see the devil doing that and having to walk away because he wants to operate in a covert way in that he's hidden and you can't see him. And you think the issue is with somebody, and it is not with somebody. It is with him. Amen. Right? Constantly working to make us believe that the battle's with other people. But his favorite tactic is to pit brother against brother in the family of God. When it works, he just hides behind our thrones and he laughs at us. His kingdom is secure for the moment because just as unity brings revival, so will disunity dispel it. Now we got a revival we're headed to, and we got to understand some tactics the enemy has. Amen. Now, there's a proud and ripe arena for satanic manipulation. Now, I know I'm using some profound words here tonight that I don't normally use, and I'm saying demons, and I'm saying satanic, and please don't go home rebuking spirits out of your house and all of this. Amen. Because those spirits live in this world. But when you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to understand that you have dominion over them. And so when action, words, and deeds come to your mind to use against individuals, and you know it's contrary to God's word, just rebuke it in Jesus' name. Come against it. Amen. But the Gospels of Matthew and Mark tell us that one day Simon Peter declared Jesus' true identity as the Son of God by revelation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord was so proud of him. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. He was so excited. And so he received Jesus' praise for his discernment. And then Jesus announced that he would die and rise again. And then Peter rebuked him for saying that. He just said, you're the Son of God. And now I'm telling you, you said you're going to die, but you're not going to die. We're not going to let you die. He said, it will never happen to you, Lord. No, sir. We're going to stand with you. Peter's religious words sounded good. They had the ring of true devotion and sincerity, but they were diabolically wrong. Simon Peter's pride and presumption created an atmosphere ripe for satanic visitation. This is one of the very reasons that we don't heap accolades on people that do great things for God. If you're doing great things for God, just keep doing them without expectation, okay? Have you ever noticed anybody? I have, and I know you have, and we're neither one of us are going to mention any names, but they want so desperately to get attention for what they do. If they don't hear it from you, they'll talk about it on Facebook for themselves. I've done this, and I hope this is a blessing to you. God has just moved on me, and I just want to get accolades and people to clap their hands at you and call your name and brag on you. Amen. That all of that is a pool of stuff that fell with the enemy. If we're doing things for the Lord, let's just continue, and we're doing good at it, then that lets you know it's the will of God. Keep at it with all your might and let God get the glory. Let God get the honor. Let God get the praise. That way, when it doesn't come to us, then we're never going to be disappointed because we were not looking for it to begin with. Right? Amen. These people are so funny. And finally, when they get it, they're like, oh, don't give, just give it to God. And if they did, they'll say, wait a minute, can't you wait just a few minutes? Aren't they funny? They're hilarious. And we don't have one in our church, praise God. I thank the Lord. I mean it. Amen. And so Simon Peter says, no, we're going to stand for you. You know, the Lord just bragged on him. And so Simon Peter, he wants to take it to another level. We're going to stand for you. I'll draw a sword. I'll cut ears off if I have to. And he did. His religious words, his pride, his presumption. The enemy joined their dinner party and used unsuspecting Peter to proclaim the hopes of hell. Satan must have snickered when Peter told Jesus, the Messiah, that he was wrong to say he was going to die on the cross. The words had hardly left his mouth before Jesus confronted him. Now, he did it again. Jesus did it again. I preach forever, and I wish I could go back and fix it, but I preached about how the Lord called Simon Peter a devil. And I've gotten a little more wisdom through the years about this thing. The Lord looked around Simon Peter because the Lord knew exactly what Simon Peter was going to do. He's going to preach the first message in the New Testament church. And so the devil caught hint of it, and he wanted to break him down with foolish pride before he ever got the opportunity. But the Lord looked around him and went straight to the power behind the throne. Amen. Jesus confronted him, looking beyond that familiar face of Simon Peter, and the Lord directly addressed the evil archangel hiding behind the throne and doing things to Simon. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Matthew 16:23. Praise God. So there are times when doing right by our own definition is actually doing wrong by God's. Something is right when it's lined up with God's word and confirmed by his Holy Ghost. Peter experienced that when he accurately declared Jesus' true identity. However, he had to completely dismiss the reality of Jesus' identity that he had just discovered in order to say what he did. If Jesus was the Son of God, why would he lie about his destiny? Catch that. Jesus told him he was going to die. Simon said, no, you're not. So in actuality, Satan was accusing Jesus of being a liar to his own disciple. And the Lord looked around the future preacher and he said, I rebuke you. I come against you, buddy. You're not going to get by with. So there's secret sources of power and anointing that can go against Satan, but there's secret sources of power that come against us as well. And we need to be very careful. And our choices of attitudes that we take on and we need to be aware. When your action seems right, but the way you go about it is wrong, it's the worst kind of wrongness. Can I use that? Amen. Because it can deceive and lead others down the wrong path as well. Peter was saying, you won't die. We're going to stand by you. But Jesus knew he could never accomplish his purpose on earth without Calvary. I know more about this, Peter, than you do. So let me do what I've got to do, and you just follow me. Anything that could or would attempt to block the purposes of God cannot be from God. All good ideas are not good ideas, right? Amen. Praise God. Now, let's look at something real brief here. When doing right can be wrong. Let's talk about that. Doing right can be wrong. Amen. And that is when it is the wrong time and it's the wrong way to do it right now. Might be a right thing. Amen. If the enemy can't get us to do wrong with a trap or enticement, then he tries to trick us into doing right at the wrong time or doing right in the wrong way. Few things are more damaging than someone who is absolutely sincere but yet sincerely wrong. Always remember that the devil used to sit at the best table in town. He still knows how to set a beautiful table and make it look perfect, and he knows how to make it very enticing. He always uses things that sound so good that we can't believe they are not of God. It's so easy to blame the king of Tyre, because if we're looking at flesh or Peter for everything that they did. However, we need to look at the real power behind the throne. The flesh wants to blame the people in the front row, but the Spirit of God sees past the front men and looks beyond the concealment of the throne. God knew that both of these men had been manipulated by the enemy and by Satan for his own ends. Satan knows where he's going to wind up. And the only joy he will ever get is to make sure we wind up there with him. I say let's disappoint him. Paul said we're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places, so that means that the battle we fight are not always clear cut. It's a spiritual battle that we can't see sometimes. We have to learn to know our enemy. Jesus understood that when he looked past Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan," he wasn't calling Peter the devil. He bypassed Peter and went directly to the one who put the thoughts into Peter's mind. Amen. Right? How else, even in a church setting, can we worship God one minute and then have evil thoughts the very next? We need to understand that there's a power behind our throne. And we need to deal with these issues constantly, nonstop and all the time. Amen? Praise God. And so it is. Who is this fallen prince of heaven and the king of hell? We know who the king of glory is, but who is the fallen prince of heaven and the king of hell who was in the Garden of Eden? The Bible says Lucifer, perfect in all of his ways until the day of iniquity. Iniquity is rebellion against divine authority. Amen. Samuel prophesied to Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. When a stubborn man or a stubborn angel worships his own opinion, it becomes an idol and it becomes an enemy of God. Amen. When a person just automatically comes to their own opinion and walks away from the authority that God has placed in their life to do their own independent thing, the enemy is behind it. The thing you're going to do may be a good thing, but the timing may be off. And the enemy can use that very thing to destroy you. The need was there before the timing was right. And it will still be there when the timing wasn't right. The need was there. And the need will still be there when the timing is right and God can accomplish and meet that need. Amen. Praise God. And so pride is the worst of all spiritual cancers. Somebody say pride. All of that ended the day iniquity was found in Lucifer. That covering cherub looked away from the Almighty to lust after his own position. And he said in his heart, I'll ascend into heaven and I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds and I'll be like the Most High. Lucifer's iniquity took the form of pride, the worst of all spiritual cancers. It instantly transformed the son of morning into the son of darkness. Pride is the worst of all sins, for it exists in heaven even before there was a devil. Satan used pride to engineer the downfall of Eden, the Garden of Eden. Amen. Satan and his works belong to the kingdom of darkness. While the Bible says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5 and 8. Amen. We cannot support or defend or adopt anything that is darkness or flesh and blood opponent to God and his kingdom. Whether it is politically correct or not, God expects us to call evil evil and good good. Amen? Praise God. And so, what do we fight with? We don't fight with our tongue. We fight with our knees in prayer. And that's where God overcomes. We can fight it ourselves, but we won't win. Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We can go to him and he will win. Somebody say every time. Praise God. It is a spiritual warfare. And we're fighting again against those principalities. Amen. And so what is God doing? God is raising up his own worship team. Somebody shout worship. I wish it was Sunday night now because we would morph right into a sermon and start preaching. Amen. But worship is the key. And God is putting a worship team together. Fortunately, everyone qualifies because he said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. We are going to overcome with our praise. If our praise is sincere and our praise is real, it's going to bleed over and it's going to go deep and it's going to cause roots to grow deep. And all of these things that we war against and fight against will be overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Somebody shout amen. When God ejected Satan and his cohorts, he was also dismissing the angelic worship team. As always, God already had a plan for a better replacement team. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the church of the living God. Right? What we've got to do is that we have got to be proficient at one level before moving on to the next. So if you struggle with worship, hurry up. Get it perfected so God can take you to another level. If you struggle with prayer, start praying anyhow and get it perfected so we can go to another level. Fasting. If you're struggling with giving God his 10%, just give God his 10% and go to another level. Amen. Don't let the devil steal your next level. Amen. Surrender, submit, and dedicate to God. And let's let the Holy Ghost have his way so we can enter into those dimensions and spiritual areas that we have never operated in. Amen. That day, Simon Peter told Jesus, you're not going to die. We're not going to let you get crucified. We'll protect you. That's like going into deep prayer and say, God, do you need anything here today? Is the devil giving you a hard time? You just tell me. I'll take care of it. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. I was there. I kicked him out. We're the ones that need the help. We're the ones that need the assistance. Amen. Amen. And so we look at it that way. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran to meet the Lord so quickly. I'm talking about, listen, When God hears a song today with truth in it, what do you think it makes him feel? When God sees your hand in the air and you're sincerely praising him with all of your heart, how do you think that makes him feel? When you go to God each day in prayer and you're fighting against temptation and everything that the world, flesh, and everything else brings against you, how do you think that makes God feel? Now let's flip the coin and say, when you pray to God every day, how does that make the devil feel? When you worship in the church, whether you feel like it or not, how does that make the devil feel? Now what do you want to do? Do we want to satisfy God or do we want to please the enemy? Praise God. I'm talking about the power that's behind the throne. Amen. Isn't it sad that in the church we quarrel over the one thing that means the most to God? We're talking about worship. He loves worship. It's the one thing that attracts him to our gathering more than anything else. When God wanted to hear a song in the early first century, he had to invade a Philippian jail. And he had to hear two broken down, beat up preachers croak it out at midnight. He got so excited, he patted his foot, triggered a massive earthquake. Lights went out and the doors opened. Those preachers were free because they decided to worship. If God wants to hear a song today, what does he do? He comes to church. When he comes to church, I hope everybody's singing. We can't afford to let the corruption that removed worship from heaven get into our worship today. I'm here to just worship God. I'm not here to take over God. I'm not here to call myself anywhere. I'm not here to make myself anything. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on the proper channels. I'm waiting on the Holy Ghost to do this thing great. Satan knows this, so he will do anything he can to distract us from worship, incite us to criticize, incite us to divide. The Gospels tell the story of a man in Gadara with a legion of devils who immediately came to Jesus when his anointed foot touched the shore of that region. He had never seen or heard about Jesus, yet something drew him to the Master. And when the Master got to the shore, that demon-possessed man was the first one there. When he saw Jesus, he ran to meet the Lord so quickly that he met Jesus immediately after he landed. This man had 2,000 demons frantically clawing at his soul to keep him from responding to the presence of Jesus Christ. There were at least enough demons to possess and destroy 2,000 pigs. This demoniac was desperate for Jesus. He had to run, they say that he had to run at least a mile to reach him. And even though this man was full of frightened, desperate demons, he still managed to kneel down and to worship Jesus. He got beyond their voices. He got beyond their strength. He got beyond their influence and worshiped the Lord anyhow. If 2,000 demons couldn't keep a man from worshiping Jesus, how can we justify allowing so many unimportant things to keep us from worshiping Jesus? Let me say this and I close. Desire. Everybody shout desire. Say it again. Say it again. Desire in worship. Desire in leadership. Desire in outreach. Desire in prayer. Bible reading. Everybody shout desire. Desire will find a way, but lack of desire will find an excuse. Let's stand together. I don't want an excuse. I want to find the way. And the Bible has already told me that Jesus Christ is the way. Amen? Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer? Let me pray for you. Holy Ghost, every heart, life, and every individual in the house tonight needs your touch. From this pulpit to every seat, from center to circumference, from the top to the bottom, left, right, front to back. I ask you in Jesus' name right now, Lord, to move upon every individual in this house. Make us what we need to be for the glory of Almighty God, so that we can ultimately mature into what you have predesigned for us from the very beginning. Master, I believe you knew me before Satan ever fell. And I believe that you were prepared to provide for me everything that we need to overcome. We ask you for that overcoming tonight in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, give us the authority, the dominion, the power, and the wisdom to rebuke the one on the throne behind us, trying to obsess us, trying to upset us, trying to overcome us, because we know your words go around us and to him, and you rebuke him, and we love you for that. And everybody shouted amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for being at Bible study on Tuesday night. Don't forget, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, work day.